But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small along among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the Lord, the name of the Lord, his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth.
Now, Micah was warning the people in Israel about their selfishness and their greed and the corruption and the arrogance and the fact that they completely ignored God. They'd stopped following God. But Micah wasn't the only one. Isaiah lived about the same time, and he was warning them about exactly the same thing, ignoring God, ignoring the Lord. And God told him that an all-conquering army would invade the north of Israel. And I guess like the massive Russian army that's invaded Ukraine and Crimea, the Assyrian army would capture and occupy the area where the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, the Israeli tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, lived. They were being invaded. Was there any hope for these people?
Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
There was gloom. The people didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know when the war was going to finish. They probably lost loved ones, some at least, and they'd face, of course, danger. They were in deep distress. Isaiah, you're on record as saying that there's hope for these people. How could this be? What do you mean? The people in Galilee were walking, they were living in dark times, overwhelmed, occupied, oppressed. And Isaiah tells them that they're in this deep darkness because they've left the Lord, they've ignored the Lord. And of course, we live in dark times too, in deep darkness, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when the war will end. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us face health problems. Some of us face family problems. Some of us face problems at work or at school. And Isaiah says that we're in even deeper darkness because we have ignored God. All of us are darkened in our understanding, says Paul in the New Testament, separated from the life of God. That's depressing, isn't it? But there is hope. There is hope. Isaiah says there is hope because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The light has dawned. The everlasting light shone in the dark streets of Bethlehem in Galilee of the nations. Okay, so what is the light? What are we talking about? Well, without the light, we can't see things properly. So we need light to see things clearly. We need light to reveal things we haven't grasped. When the light bulb goes on above your head, bing, you understand it, don't you? You get it. Ah, I see it now. We need light. When Mary, a little later, she told Luke about when she and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. And old Simeon took the baby in his arms and said, "Lord, let me die in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations." A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That's Luke 2. A light that reveals things. So when the child that Isaiah talks about all those years ago, when the child that Simeon took in his arms grew to be a man, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light," John 8. That light, the light that reveals things, the way things truly are, the light that reveals what we must do, can still be seen today in Chippenham, in Wiltshire. But there's a problem. Because in John's Gospel in chapter 3, Jesus talks about being the light of the world. But this is the judgment. This is the verdict, says Jesus. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness. We love darkness because what we do and what we think is evil by nature. We're human nature. And we don't come to the light naturally. We reject the light because our deeds become clear, become exposed. So we have a problem. But there's good news, of course. Jesus follows that comment by saying that whoever lives by the truth, whoever deals truthfully, honestly with God, will come into the light. The light has come. And we can come to the light. So will you pray with me? Lord, it's true that the light of the world has come. But so many, even today, think they don't need him, prefer the darkness of their own thinking, don't come into the light. And we confess that the world we live in is a mess, is in distress because of that. Please, let the light of the world dawn on us this Christmas. Amen.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
So the people who are in darkness, they see a great light. The light dawns. Because a child is born. A son is given. The child is unique. Because, for many, many reasons. But one is that Isaiah says back in chapter 7 of his book, Isaiah says he will be born of a virgin, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah says this child is a wonderful counselor. Well, apparently, most English Bibles have wonderful as an adjective to the noun counselor, but the Hebrew's not quite like that, apparently. He is a wonderful counselor. He's wonderful. But the original, apparently, that wonderful stands kind of on its own and means something like supernatural. The child is a supernatural counselor, which he is. And his counsel is supernatural, which it is. He is wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. So if the supernatural counselor knows what's really true, what is the best thing, then the mighty God has the power, the authority to make it happen. The child knows what is right and what's not right, and he has the authority to command people to do it. The government, says Isaiah, will be on his shoulders. He's wonderful counselor, the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Apparently, the emphasis in the Hebrew is on the everlasting. The child will live forever. Isaiah says in verse 7, the next one, we'll see that in a minute, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. He is everlasting. The child is everlasting. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah earlier says that there's great joy, great joy. People rejoice when the light dawns, when the child is born. They rejoice like they do at the harvest, when they bring the harvest in, like they do when there's been a great victory and the yoke of oppression has been shattered, like when Gideon defeated the Midianites with thousands and thousands of Midianites with 300 men, like, for example, VE Day at the end of World War II, only better. People rejoice. But there's at least a dozen wars currently happening in various places. So how can this be true? How can he be the Prince of Peace? Well, of course, we humans always look for the things that affect us, don't we? That's right. We look for meaning without reference to God. What Ecclesiastes says, we always look under the sun. We think peace on earth means people will stop fighting, which Isaiah does mean, but Isaiah has something bigger and eternal in mind. He means peace with God, peace between the Lord and us. Because we have a problem, as we've just heard. There is a verdict against us. There is a judgment. And we need to be at peace with God. And how is the peace to be achieved? How is the peace to happen? Through the child that is born to us. Every male child, of course, is a son to their father, but this son is completely unique in so many ways. He came, in fact, he was given to us. The son was given to us to help us with that big problem that we talked about. God gave him to us to save us from the judgment, from the verdict that we talked about. Other philosophies and religions demand that you do something. You do something to atone for your weaknesses and failures to be worthy of eternal life. But God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusted him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16, a very famous verse. So would you pray with me again? Lord, thank you for the gift of the Son given to us long ago. He alone can save us from judgment, from the verdict, because he alone died in our place. He alone paid the price of our rejection, of our refusal to come to the light. He paid the price of our arrogance, greed, selfishness. This Christmas, may each of us here receive this indescribable gift, your gift to us, a gift too wonderful for words. Amen. Amen. So we've read a little bit about what happened in Bethlehem.
The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that have happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
So Isaiah told the people long, long ago that the light of the world would come. They would see and the light would dawn. And he told them that this would happen because a child is born, a son is given. And we sang that last song because it shines a light on the third thing that Isaiah tells us about the Son, of the greatness of his government and peace. We thought about peace. There will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, righteousness, from that time on and forever. Don't know about you, but that's a kingdom that I want to be a part of. Righteousness and justice. So different from where we live these days. But how can this son, this man, how can he govern forever? How can his kingdom know no end? Wasn't he born? Wasn't he a human? Yes, he was. Didn't he die? Yes, he did. But he rose again from the dead, and he lives forever. So how can I be part of this kingdom that lasts forever? Won't I die one day? Don't we all die one day? Well, maybe. But to a woman who was grieving the loss of her brother, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Says Jesus. Do you believe this? Says Jesus. Do you find it hard to believe? Can it possibly be true? Well, come along to explore Christianity on the 10th of January. You can ask all your questions. You can express all your doubts. And we will do our level best to explain to you why we are sure, we are convinced that we will live forever through Jesus Christ. But just for tonight, let me tell you about the disciple, the Apostle John. He lived, walked, talked, ate with Jesus for years. So if anyone knew the man Jesus, it was John. He writes to testify that we heard him We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our hands. And still, I proclaim eternal life to you all in his name. So just for tonight, we'll look finally at the account that John wrote of the life of Jesus. His gospel is in the Bible. And Isaac will come up and read for us how John begins his account in John chapter 1.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The light that dawned, the light of all mankind, the true light that gives light to everyone. Just as Isaiah has said. But the world did not know him. So many in those days did not receive him, did not understand, did not even want to know. And of course, it's the same today. So many don't understand the gift that God has given us. Many do not want to know. I hope that doesn't describe you this evening. But did you spot what John said? How John goes on to say that to all that did receive him, to all that did believe in him, to everyone that does believe in him, he gave the right to be children of God. John speaks of the light of the world coming to mankind. And the problem that we face, the judgment that we face, the verdict that's on us, is if the light has come to us, would we reject it? Would we refuse it? I beg you this evening not to refuse the light, the gift of God. So long, long ago, long, long ago, Isaiah said that the people who lived in darkness, in distress, would see a great light. He'd see that because a child would be born, a son would be given, and this son would be the king of God's people forever, without end. not quite as long ago as that, the light of the world did come, became a child in Bethlehem, and that light can still be seen this evening. He is the Son, and he has been given to us all. And he lives forever. His righteous kingdom will never end. I want to be there, and I hope you do too. Let me be perfectly honest and frank. If you don't think that this is the most fantastic, wonderful, magnificent, the most glorious thing in the history of the universe, you haven't truly understood it. This is too wonderful to capture properly in words. It's magnificent that the Lord our God has given us a Son to save us, and so that we might live with him forever. Hallelujah.